Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Some set of pipes, right?
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, and a little ears warning with this one. Around this time, every single Wednesday, we do sex and relationship therapy. And we talk about all kinds of stuff. Stuff that you want to talk about. And last week, something came up and we thought we'd continue the conversation. It was all about affection and public displays of affection. I'm delighted to have Rachel Cook on the line. Rachel, are you there? Rachel, come in.
I'm here. How's it going, Jen?
There you are. How's it going? So we kind of touched on this last week and we got so many texts in about it. So we wanted to discuss it with you. I mean, PDAs, yeah, public displays of affection, they're a bit like Marmite. Why do some people love them and others hate them?
Oh, you know, some people really like snuggling up no matter where they are and who they might be watching. They don't care at all. For others, the mere thought of holding hands in public gives them pangs of anxiety. For some people, thinking of seeing a couple kissing in public fills them with annoyance. It could be despair, disgust, jealousy, arousal. You know, it can be a real mix. And I think a lot of our reaction to PDAs comes down to the way we were raised. If our parents displayed affection at home while growing up, it becomes quite normal to us. And the way that that they viewed PDAs depicts the way that we view and judge it as we get older often. So if your parents were those kind of loved up, gushing people who love to embarrass you with a snog, gross, then you're more likely to be open to PDA. But if your parents were more private, or your caregivers, whoever they were, it might feel a bit stranger or possibly even repulsive to you. So I think that's definitely a big part of it, but it will also come down to people's personal experiences of, you know, affection and relationships growing up. Then also, you know, down to people's personality and also, you know, how people's brains work. For some people, the visual aspect of seeing people engaging in affection can be very sort of visceral, and that might be pleasurable, or it might be uncomfortable, or it might really depend on whether they find the people who they're watching doing the PDA, you know, attractive. Or so there's a lot of different reasons why someone might love, hate it, or just not really care, or sometimes maybe have a combination of those things.
Do PDAs tell us anything about a couple's relationship, really? I mean, are they, say, happier or more secure in themselves than people who don't?
There's really mixed opinions on this. I would say generally, no, it doesn't say that much about the relationship. All it tells us is that they prefer to show affection physically. Of course, you know, it's fairly well established that couples who display extreme affection online via social media tend to be actually more insecure, you know, that they're seeking external validation, whereas couples who feel more secure in their relationships are too busy living in the moment to need to update their status. But it doesn't always mean that, because, again, you know, over time, it's become much more common, and even sort of there's a pressure, I think, on around social media to show, you know, where you are in your relationship and update sort of your status for milestones in the relationship and going on holidays and sort of curating your image to look like you're having this amazing time. So, yeah, I would say, you know, whether someone is, just because people are engaging in PDAs doesn't actually really say anything specific about their relationship. But of course, it can.
Are Irish people particularly, you know, crap at it?
I actually think that's changed quite a lot over the last 10 years or so, Jen. I think we tend to be a culture that does it a bit less, but than others, for sure. But I don't think that we're one of the worst. But also depends on how you look at it, because it's so different around the world as to how people view this. You know, it's like, for some, it's coming from a sense of shame and discomfort that they don't want to do it. For others, it's a sense of that it would be disrespectful to others to kind of unconsensually be sort of kissing or groping your partner in front of people. So again, it kind of comes down to people's motivations behind why they would or wouldn't be doing it. But I think Irish people have come a long way in being, you know, more open and experiencing less shame about the idea of just showing that you're, you know, into someone and being kind of authentic about that in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, this whole chat was inspired by a text I got into the show last week from a woman who said, my partner refuses to display any public displays of affection with me, actually checks to see if anyone's coming before he kisses me. And we have children together and I don't want my kids to grow up like that. And I've spoken to him numerous times, but he just, it doesn't get any better. So what can you do if your partner just isn't into it?
I think talk to your partner, as this person has said that they did. That's their first port of call, because, you know, if you're really into it and the other person really isn't, then that can, there can be quite a bit of friction between a couple around that. And they might feel, one or both people might feel very uncomfortable. You know, the person who's more into PDA might feel kind of uncared for, unappreciated. They might feel sort of humiliated by not having that reciprocated. And the person who is not into it might feel very pressurized. And kind of suffocated and crowded and humiliated by that as well. So I think chatting about your preferences can be really helpful, and also chatting about your histories with that. Because again, since so much of this is likely to come down for most people to how they were brought up and experiences they've had since, it can be good to chat about it, because sometimes even talking about it and reflecting on it both alone and together, you might find that it frees up a bit of space to feel either more accepting of someone who isn't into it, or more accepting of someone who is into it, and maybe you can, you know, you'd be more willing to go in a certain direction.
That's interesting. You said that, because sometimes we think, oh well, I really like the public displays of affection. They're not into it, so how do we make them change? But you said, you know, if you open up the conversation, maybe you can become more accepting to the fact that they're just not that into it. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, just because it's kind of normalized in a lot of Western society doesn't mean, again, that everybody should be doing it, or that there's something wrong with your relationship or with that person because they don't want to do it. You know, also, it's very common for people to have various, you know, sort of idiosyncrasies and pet peeves and kind of just like quirks around you know, anything to do with kind of sex and physical affection. Also, people have very different love languages, you know. Okay, we're talking about PDA, so it might be that if someone is very tactile and physical in private and then they're not at all in public, then that probably says something about how they perceive that and experiences that they've had around it. But some people also just aren't very physically affectionate. It's not really how they receive or demonstrate love and care. And so you have to take that into account as well, which again is most useful to talk about it with your partner, you know, in a calm sort of environment where, you know, you're not sort of shaming or blaming each other. You're just sharing your experiences and your thoughts and recognizing that very might well be able to, you know, that you can negotiate that and compromise. And certainly one or both people might be able to change their attitudes towards it quite significantly. However, that doesn't mean that you should be trying to convince your partner to just do what you think is the right way to be, or the thing that you want them to do, because that really might not work for them.
Yeah, and learning about, you know, your partner's love language, that's a really good tip. Can you just go into a bit more, because you've said this term a couple of times on the show, and it's you've often said some women feel touched out or from the, you know, can you just go into that a little bit more in case people are listening?
Yeah, definitely. So. Yeah, so we talk about that. We've talked about that a lot in relation to sex and specifically having children, although it can also happen for people who are in caring professions where they're doing a lot of physical touch relating to their work. But basically it's that, you know, even if someone is actually very tactile in general and loves a physical touch and affection, that there may be a point, you know, everyone is going to have a threshold, and that is going to come down to all sorts of things, how hungry you are, tired you are, you know, where you might be on your, you know, menstrual cycle. It could be to do with that. And this is also applies to all genders. But I find that because it still tends to be women doing the vast majority of child rearing, certainly in the early years, it can mean that the person simply becomes, you know, overstimulated in terms of physical touch. So they might still want physical affection. They might want some closeness, or they might not, because they just feel like they've had one or more children hanging out of them for half the day, the whole day, however long it's been. And then the idea of a partner coming along and wanting, you know, sort of hand holding or kissing or, you know, massages or even, you know, sex of any kind, or even the thought of that escalating to that can really produce this sort of, you know, sort of aversive response where you might recoil or kind of shudder or just turn away from that. And so I think there needs to be a lot of conversation between couples, again, of any gender, about how to manage that, because sometimes it's absolutely not something that is within your control. You know, it's not that you're saying, oh, I don't desire you, I don't care about you. It might simply be that in the moment you're overstimulated, and so you might need to discuss that so that there aren't as many hurt feelings as there could be.
Great advice. Rachel, thank you so much for that. As always, a pleasure. And you can follow Rachel Cook on Instagram. She is our psychotherapist, mental health consultant, sex therapist, absolute legend. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and you can ask her anything here. You just email jen@rte.ie. We do sex and relationship therapy every single Wednesday, and she's always here to help.
Jennifer Zaffarelli,
weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.